Welcome to the Stewardship Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Nelson, and I am super excited to share with you a conversation that I had with Teresa Bauer about her new book entitled He Called Her Beautiful. We had a conversation about her book, beauty, fear, and when is it appropriate to share personal and intimate content on social media. Before we jump into that conversation, I want to share with you an experiment I did with my wife Amanda, my daughters Ella and Rosie, and my son Thomas. I got together with them and asked them some questions about the interview I had with Teresa before they listened to the interview. We listened to the interview together and then we came back and had some follow-up conversation. I think you'll get a little bit of entertainment out of these conversations and get a glimpse into what it's like to try to have a teachable moment with your children only for it to go off the rails. I think they may have gotten something out of it, but not quite exactly what their mother and I hoped. So if you're ready, hang on and enjoy the ride. So my first question is, what does it mean to be beautiful?
What it means to be beautiful is to look good, I suppose. Rainbows are beauty.
Flowers are beauty.
What do you think of when I say beautiful?
Jesus, rainbows, flowers, Ella.
What about Rosie? Yeah. Is Rosie beautiful?
Yeah, and I think of roses beautiful. In my family.
What is an emotion?
An emotion is when you feel something.
So what is an emotional feeling? Can you describe one for me?
I will give you an example. When, like, people are being loud and crazy, that's sort of annoying.
When you find a pretty rock, it's happiness of liking that rock.
When you feel something, like if you're sad, happy, or mad, when something triggers that, you have a feeling.
Have you ever seen something beautiful, either a picture of something or something in nature, that made you have an emotion, that made you feel a certain way?
Well, me and Rosie saw some pretty flowers, and we were happy to see them.
I one time saw the end of a rainbow, and I was happy.
Was there a pot of gold?
Nuh-uh.
Do you remember that time that we were driving in New Hampshire? How many rainbows did we see?
Seven or eight. Seven. Those rainbows were beautiful.
Very.
That's an example of beauty.
Children, none of you have social media accounts, as far as I know. But you know what they are and a little bit about how people use them. If you had a social media account, how do you think you would decide what is appropriate to share about your personal life?
Actually, I shared my toys and my friends were happy.
So when you shared your toys at Chi, that made people happy. So if you share things that bring joy, is that a good measure of things that you should share?
Yes.
What kind of information do you guys think needs to go on Facebook?
Well, I'm not a grown-up, so I don't know.
I would share a little bit about me and some things that I like and stuff like that in life.
So there's a lot of personal things that shouldn't be shared on social media. How do you decide which things are appropriate to share and which things are not?
I don't know. I don't think you should share too much.
I know something that's inappropriate. One time when Strider and Ella were doing school, Strider said to Ella that wouldn't I be a good painting artist? And Ella said, you'd be a great goof artist.
Even if it's true, maybe you shouldn't share every bit of your life. Like, that's your life, not theirs.
Have you ever made a decision to do something or to not do something because you were afraid?
Yes.
Yeah. It was something bad, and we were swimming at one of our friends' house, and I took Mom's phone and jumped in the pool, but this was a time that I didn't have my paddle jumper on, and I was in the deep part, and I didn't know how to swim, And that was something I did, but I was afraid for when I was gonna drown.
So you did something and got afraid because you did something. So after you did that, were you ever afraid to jump in the pool again?
Yes.
When you wanted to jump in the pool again, did you still jump in the pool or did you not jump in the pool?
I jumped in the pool.
Does that mean you listened to fear or you told fear to be quiet?
I told fear to be quiet.
One time I cut off my finger and I was afraid.
So our mom was sending us to a homeschool co-op, and this was my first time going to an actual school, and me and my brother had the choice to go to it or to continue being at home and doing school, and we chose to go to school, and that was a hard decision that we made.
Teresa, thank you so much for being on the Stewardship Podcast today. I'm excited to talk about your new book with you, which is He Called Her Beautiful. Let's jump in. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the title, why He Called Her Beautiful?
Thank you for having me. I'm completely honored that you asked me to do this because I love talking about my work. The title is He Called Her Beautiful, and it is a line from the main poem in the book. This is a book of poetry and process. My process. And the poem Beautiful is basically my story. It's my gospel. And I find that it's also other people's story, not just mine. And beautiful is a term that really unlocked for me life. Growing up, I wouldn't like beautiful things. I refused to let myself like beautiful things. Poverty will do that to you. I didn't think I deserved beautiful things or deserved to be beautiful. And God brought me to a place in my life, really unlocking that part of me. And so this poem was birthed from that process. The other poems before and after, they tell the story of before I let beauty into my life and after in my perspective on life.
Wow. So what was the turning point for you when you let beauty in?
It was a very slow process. It was like trying to fill the ocean one drop at a time. I guess it was a certain season. My kids have grown and most of them have left the house. I had more time to explore my own personal faith and creativity. And I don't know, it was just a shift in seasons. It kind of happened without me knowing it was happening, to be honest. When I realized that God was using poetry to unlock all of that, I was in a bar downtown because somebody told me, hey, we're doing a poetry night. And, you know, and I just went. I don't even know why I went. I do now, but I didn't then. And I listened to people reading and I thought, oh my gosh, these are all the pages in my journal. They're reading the pages in my journal. I must be writing poetry. And so I went back and looked at, you know, and understood that's what was happening.
So once you realized that caused you to dive in and really start exploring.
Yeah, I became very intentional about it then. It wasn't just, oh, these are just thoughts and, you know, things. It's like, oh, no, there's a message in here. God's speaking to me and maybe to somebody else. And I need to serve the work and let these things do what they're meant to do.
Now, your book is more than just words. There's a lot of visual stuff in your book. It's a very visual book. So tell me a little bit about where the visuals came from and why they're there.
Okay, I'm a very visual person, and it invites, personally for me, it invites me into a work when I not only see the words, but something that accompanies the words, because images can evoke emotion also. And that's really what I want to do in my work, is evoke some kind of emotion from you. And many of the pages are my personal photograph that spoke to me or tell the story along with the words. There's also a few pieces of artwork. I'm not an artist in that way. I wish I was, but that was also part of the process of beauty, letting it do its work, you know, giving myself permission to do things I wasn't good at and letting this invisible thing happen and become visible and tell me a story. There are a few things in there. I couldn't quite grasp the image myself, so I borrowed them.
How did you come to the conclusion that this needed to be a published work and not just a performed work?
Well, if you were to read my journals in high school, you would know that from a very early age, I wanted to write a book. And I didn't know what the book was about, but there was this thing in me that wanted to write a book. Obviously, in high school, I have no content because I'm so young, and life had to happen, and experience and wisdom had to take place. And as I write, and I've tried to blog for many years, and that just didn't pan out too well. So I just decided, you know, I just write in my notebook, I just write in my journals, I explore thoughts and all that. And then this thing sat on my chest, this invisible force sat on my chest, and it was, now it's time. Now it's time to do the book. Now it's time. You have something to say. And this went on for years because I was fighting it out of fear and not knowing what it was still. I don't know what it is. So I learned to just use the things that I had in my hands. What is in front of me that I can just say and do? And I used Facebook and Instagram to put out my thoughts and to explore this poetic writing that I had learned I was doing. And someone approached me and said, have you ever thought of publishing a book with all of your stuff? And I said, why, yes, I have, but I don't have any resources or money, and I have no idea how to do that. And they said, well, I do, and I'm willing to donate my time to you and my resources so that your work can be out there because some other people need to read it. And that floored me. I was like, what? And that really just comes from trusting God and just yielding and making yourself available to God's process and allowing community to come in and be who they are. And so we worked for, I guess, a year and a half almost. And this was the COVID year. So we worked for a year and a half on the content, on how to design it. And man, that is something else, that whole process. I would much rather just create and write. There were so many times I just wanted to give up on it because I felt like I was, by the time we began to publish this particular, you know, I had to make decisions about what would be included, how many, I've written, I don't know how many poems and things, what do I include? That's very overwhelming. So I felt like I had a time span. So from this date to this date was about a year's worth of stuff. And I would filter what I thought was telling the story. All of these writings were several years old, and I had written so many other things since then. I thought, oh, this is old news. Nobody's really going to like this. It just feels so, you know, and I gave up on it over and over and over. But every time I went back and read through what we were working on, it felt like there were these little sparks of life. Like, I want to live. I need to be published. I need to be out there in people's hands. And so I relented and I kept going, and I had so much positive feedback. It's surprising to me. I don't know if I ever answered that question.
No, you answered it beautifully. Thank you. So tell me a little bit more about the feedback you've gotten.
I think a lot of the feedback is resonance. People resonate because I'm pretty honest just with throwing little prayers out there. And so a lot of people resonate with the feelings, especially with the poem Beautiful and the questioning, the stirring. I hear a lot of that.
So this content is obviously, it's very intimate and personal. And I think a lot of people would hesitate to even share as much as you have in a book. And I know you've shared a lot on social media. You alluded to it earlier. You've been doing this for years on Facebook and probably on Instagram. I'm not on Instagram, but I've seen a lot of your stuff on Facebook. Was it ever a hurdle for you to begin posting that kind of intimate personal detail on social media?
Oh, yeah.
So how did you overcome that hurdle?
I listened to my insides. I've learned to not take counsel of my fear. I've learned to allow fear to propel me forward. I let fear sit in the back seat and it can say what it wants, but ultimately I'm in the driver's seat. I've lived my life with fear in the driver's seat for so long, and I hated where it was taking me or where it kept me from going. I just came to a decision over a period of time. Again, it's not one event, but to not let fear have control anymore. There's still that intrepidation, like, what are people going to think? I'm going to be misunderstood. And I've had to come to grips with, and that's been a process in itself, coming to grips with being willing to look foolish, being willing to be misunderstood, because you will, be willing to people not agreeing with you or totally not getting what you're saying. And it's like one by one having to come to grips with those things and being in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Like, okay, we're in this together. So yes, I'm going to do this afraid and knowing that I'm going to look like an idiot or I'm going to look foolish, but you're going to be with me and that I'll be okay. I try not to rely too much on what people say, whether it's good or bad.
So I really like that picture you painted of fear being in the driver's seat and moving it to the back seat mm-hmm. so that it can say what it needs to say, and then you make the decision about what to do with it. It yeah. doesn't control the situation. You let it have its voice, and then you decide where to go. I love that picture.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert really said it in her creative book. I'm sure other people okay. have to
read it. Yeah, yeah. So not everybody should get on social media, and too many of them do, and share intimate details about their journey. But you've gone through a process where you've thought critically about it and made a hard decision to do it. My next question for you is, was it worth it? Has it paid off in a way that you'd hoped for, or in a way that you can look back and say, yes, this was definitely worth it?
Yes, definitely worth it. I will say this though. I would never share anything personal until I've dealt with it personally and privately. Whether I'm writing a memoir or putting a vulnerable piece of poetry out there or talking about or just, you know, a personal creative rant or whatever it is, before it goes out there, I'm having a personal encounter with it in private. And I think that's very important. And there's a difference between filling your guts on social media and saying just anything you want and being a creative person using their creativity intentionally for the masses. There's a huge difference.
That's a good distinction to make.
And a writer or an artist should never make public something that they have not dealt with, whether it's a hardship, a trauma, anything, a rant, your opinions. Mm-hmm. I think everything should be dealt with in private first, because there's a lot of raw that isn't healthy if everybody else sees it, but then you can deliver it in a way that's healthy for you and the reader or the consumer.
Yeah, it sounds like you're measuring how much vulnerability you're sharing with your audience. Mm-hmm. And when it gets to an appropriate level of vulnerability, then you share it.
Yes.
Let's talk about your dinner parties that you've been thinking about and what those are. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I want to take all these elements that are true of me and what I believe my purpose is and put them all together and deliver them and share them with community. And so I want to do live readings and explored some possibilities to do that, because a lot of poetry is so much better when the writer is reading it, because it's in their voice, it tells the story, and it's just magical. And so I wanted to create some kind of atmosphere, but I also love community, and I love intimate community, because we tend to receive and give easier when it's an intimate group rather than a whole room full of people. And I don't like feeling like I'm the center of attention. So we could just all gather in a circle and do it that way. So what I've come up with is this idea of, for now I'm calling them dinner parties, or they could be tea parties or whatever, wine parties, but this feeling of being around a table, although there doesn't have to be a table, but it's an intimate setting with a group of people that are personally invited to a space where I come and I invite you into an atmosphere, and I read and I talk about the book and I talk about the process, and even it can turn into a conversation. And I really enjoy having conversations with small groups of people. And so I have this idea of people working with me will partner together and do little gatherings together.
And what's the best way for people to get in touch with you about these dinner parties, to get a copy of your book, or to know more about you?
So Facebook and Instagram are great ways, and you can direct message me. You can see all of my work on those two platforms. And if you like what you see, you can message me and we can talk over email or whatever. But my Facebook account is T Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, with the number 1. Or you can just look up Teresa Bauer. I don't think there's that many in there. And my Instagram account is T Cat Bauer, T-C-A-T-B-A-U-E-R.
Excellent. And I'll put links to all those in the show notes for our listeners so that they can click on over to those. Do you have any other thoughts that you wanted to share with our audience?
Through my own journey of creativity, I want people to know that they are creative in their own way, that everybody is creative. Everybody made in the image of God is creative. And it doesn't always look like art. It doesn't have to be a painting or a book or piece of material, you know, woven together. It doesn't need to look like that. You can be creative in the science field, in the accounting field. You can be creative in the garage working on vehicles. There are so many avenues. And I think it's very important we know that, because that's how we steward our work, to understand how we're connected connected with the earth and each other. And it's through our creativity and how we embody the glory of God here and the kingdom of God here is through our creativity. And we partner with it. It teaches us, it helps us grow. And in turn, we create it. There's this thing I say all the time in my creative group is the work that you are set out to create first has to create you. So there's this relationship back and forth, relationship between you and your work. And it teaches you what it needs to teach you so that you can create it. And that's what I found in this whole process of book writing and everything else that I've tried to do is that I have this thought of where I'm going, but on the way, it in its invisible state is creating me so that I can then help it to live out there in the world.
That is a beautiful way of thinking about that process. That's never clicked with me like it did when you just explained it, but I love that so much. As you were talking, you know, you talked about being in a garage and being created with a vehicle. I thought, oh, you know a man like that. Your husband Jeff is that man.
Yes.
And even so at the point where I am, say with accounting, I mean, just tax accounting. I mean, what a horribly boring topic to try to be creative with. But, you know, I'm going into my 9th tax season next year and I'm doing it with freedom in that it is, I'm doing it under my own umbrella. I'm not doing it under another tax accounting firm. And that is giving me so much freedom to do it the way I want to do it and to engage with clients exactly how I want to engage with them. Yes. And it's bringing out this creativity and the engagement that resonate. There's that word resonate that resonated as you were speaking. You know, you mentioned accounting and I thought, yeah, that's I can see that happening in me right now. And I think it took those other 8 years of working for someone else to let that frustration build. Yes. I mean, I think that's what you were talking about. That thing was being created in me so that I can create it now.
So a part of Teresa's story is that she was robbed of the joy of beauty when she was a child. What do you think it would be like to live like that?
Hard, miserable. Most childs are creative and they are and beautiful and creative.
I agree with Thomas. It would be miserable because being robbed of your beauty means like you can't think of yourself as a beautiful person, and you probably think that you can't do things that a beautiful person who thinks of themselves as beautiful could do.
Now that we've heard Teresa talk about sharing personal details on social media, like Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest, things like that, what do you think about sharing personal details and intimate problems on social media? Is it ever appropriate?
Yeah, it can be appropriate.
Under what circumstances? Think about what Miss Teresa said. What circumstances is it okay for her to share personal stuff on social media?
When she's dealt with it, like it's past, it's in the past.
I agree with Ella. Like it isn't every day, but like some days.
What do you think about what Teresa said about fear?
I thought it was good, like how she put fear in the back seat and she was driving.
What does that mean to put fear in the back seat?
You're pushing it away and you're taking control.
So I think it's interesting that she put fear in the back seat and that she didn't kick it out the door. Because if you kick it out the door, that means fear doesn't have any voice at all. Why do you think she put it in the back seat instead of kicking it out the door?
Because there still has to be boundaries. Without fear, you might do some things that are bad. Like, you might not be afraid of sneaking into grocery stores and stealing money. And you won't be afraid of going to jail or you won't be afraid of getting caught. You would just do it.
You still need a little bit of fear to be able to do a lot of stuff. Like, if you didn't have fear, you would go bonkers, and that you wouldn't care really about what people would think, and so you would, well, you would, but like, you would rob and like, you would burn a house, your house down, because you didn't have fear.
Sometimes we use the oven or stove, and then we leave. And this one time we were leaving and we left it on, and mom was afraid that she didn't know she turned it off or on, so we turned back to see, and it was on, so we turned it off, but without fear, our house would have burnt down.
One time Ella burnt herself, and she got scared, and that's what I've got from Ella when she got scared.
Hot stuff is dangerous.
So is it possible that we're not fearful, but we're cautious because we don't want to get hurt?
Yes.
I was thinking when Teresa was talking about fear being in the backseat, I was thinking about yesterday while you were driving us to school and Rosie was in the backseat and she was giving you directions of what she thought was best, but you got to make the decision about what was best, even though someone else who wasn't in control was voicing their opinion. So I think fear is the same way. You can hear these voices, but if it's just in the back seat, then you ultimately are responsible for the decisions.
But, like, Rosie has decision to a degree.
To what degree?
She can't, like, she doesn't get to make all of these decisions, but Dad doesn't either.
So in a situation where I'm in the front seat driving, what kind of decisions can Rosie make about how I drive?
She can give you ideas
of not to run into a car.
Okay, Daddy did not run into anybody yesterday.
But
he almost.
Who did I almost run into?
Truck?
No. That was a stop sign that he didn't see.
And then he like...
Are you talking about the stop sign that I didn't see?
I'm talking about the black truck.
What black truck?
That you almost ran into.
Ella, do you remember this black truck?
No.
Did Miss Bauer help you guys understand the importance of beauty?
Yes.
Well, I think it's important to feel beautiful because if you feel beautiful, you might see things differently. Like, if you feel beautiful, you might think of your eyes as beautiful when you look in the mirror. You might think other people are beautiful more than what you used to see. And so, important to feel beautiful.
Where does beauty come from?
Jesus.
I think another way of saying what Miss Bauer is talking about is confident. I think beautiful people have a sort of confidence that other people, when they don't feel beautiful, are lacking. So I guess my real question is, why is it important to be confident?
You have to be confident to do things. Like, you have to be confident to drive, you have to be confident in yourself.
Well, I think you see what I mean. I think they got something out of it, but not quite the way we intended. My hope for you, and I'm confident in this hope, is that you enjoyed the conversation I had with Teresa about beauty, fear, and when to share personal content on social media. I highly recommend grabbing a copy of Teresa's book and consider hosting a dinner party, tea party, wine party. I know my wife Amanda is hosting a tea party soon, so if you're listening to this podcast and it's only been released for a week or so, get in touch with me. And if you're in the upstate South Carolina area and you would like to attend a tea party with Teresa Bauer, then let me know and I'll get you in touch with Amanda. Or you can email Amanda directly. Her email address is amanda@nelson360.com. To get a copy of the book, get in touch with Teresa directly on Facebook. Search for Teresa Bauer. T-E-R-E-S-A. Bauer is spelled B-A-U-E-R. And if you'd like to get in touch with her on Instagram, her Instagram handle is T-Cat-Bauer. So T-C-A-T-B-A-U-E-R. And I'd like to remind you as we get into the holidays that this is a great time of year to do a tax return projection. If you're at all concerned about the changes to your tax situation combined with the changes in the tax code for 2021, Do yourself a favor, remove the uncertainty about the results of your 2021 tax return before April 15th with a tax return projection prepared by me. The process is very easy. There are three steps. The first step is to go to taxreturnprojection.com, click Begin Projection Now, and answer a few questions and maybe upload a few documents. The second step is to meet with me, and I will explain to you exactly what is happening with your tax return projection and what your 2021 tax return will look like based on what we know now. If you don't like where your tax return is headed, step three is to take action now so that your refund or amount due is in line with where you would like it to be. We'll talk about strategies that give you control over the results of your 2021 tax return. Again, the website address is taxreturnprojection.com. Thank you for listening to the Stewardship Podcast, where it's all about stewardship.